Sure, record this, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and as I look at kicking off this year and starting this year, and last Sunday I was excited because we're kicking off a new year in 2019, and snow came, and that's okay. I got a day of moving snow. Hallelujah. So I got to shovel some snow. Hallelujah. But the Lord's really been speaking to my heart about getting things in order in our hearts and lives. And I really believe that God's going to do some mighty and awesome things in this year. And he wants us to get positioned and ready so they can really flow. Amen? And so, you know, a tree is known by its fruits, right? And one of the things that I was reminded of what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, verse number 3, he says that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God might be glorified. Amen? So God is glorified as trees of righteousness. We're the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and his righteousness is to flow in and through our lives. Amen? So with this in mind, I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 3 says this. The word of God says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And tonight I want to focus your attention on verse number 5 for the message this evening. He says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates or rejected. When I was thinking about this, I was reminded of that song that said, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary unto you. Well, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, or it's his sanctuary that he resides in you. So tonight we want to look at something he wants us to do an inventory check in our hearts and lives. Listen to this. He doesn't want you to check anybody's inventory but yourself. Amen? We're not here to look at anybody else but ourselves. So the title of this evening's message is Tried and True. And three things I want to share out of this text today, tonight, is to reflect, to respect, and to reject. Okay? That's the object. So can we lift the word together and make a declaration here tonight? Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, why do you do that? Well, you know, that's probably one of the only times we can all get the whole body agreeing. Hallelujah. That we're all saying the same thing. Amen? So repeat after me. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Tonight, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for everything that you have in store for each and every one of us tonight. That we're precious, that we're called, that we're set apart for such a time as now. And it's no accident that we're here tonight, because you purposed and planned something for every heart and every life for this night. So, Lord, we open ourselves up to you, Father God. We say, Lord, have your way here. Have your way in my heart, in my life, and I'll never cease to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the apostle says first, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. No, not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But first he says, to reflect, examine yourselves. Examine. Amen. In other words, we're allowing the Spirit of God to look inside of us. And when I was thinking about reflecting on this, the Lord took me to Lamentations chapter 3. Now, the Lamentations, Jeremiah was known and as the weeping prophet. He was weeping for Jerusalem, for Israel. And the Lamentations are the weeping of the prophet Jeremiah. And Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 40, the word of God says this. He says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search and try our ways. The question we want to ask ourselves right now is, are our ways pleasing the Lord? Are our ways pleasing the Lord? And turn again unto the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Now, you know, you say, I'm going to lift up my heart. Well, God sees your heart. You know, the word of God declares that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. There's nothing that we can hide from God. So since we can't hide anything from him, it's better that we just fess up and recognize where we have weaknesses or where we're messing up. Fess up where we mess up. Hallelujah. He's saying, and again, he's asking us to check our hearts, to examine ourselves. Amen. How many have some areas in their lives that you know that you need to do some better at? Come on, let's be honest. God's talking to everybody in the room. I've got two hands up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not just looking at your sin. I got stuff going on too. Amen. Amen. And even though the Lord's been working out, he's got your feet up too. Hallelujah. But the key is, hey, that you're amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, and there should be not one person in this room that judges anybody else in this room, that we all have issues in our life, and God wants to deal with the issues, and we should be free to tell brothers and sisters in Christ what we're going through and not be condemned for it. Amen? There's enough condemnation in the world. God loves you and has a plan in every life. When I was looking at that, look at me in Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verse number 23. He says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our thought life, okay? He's not only dealing with our heart, but if we get our heart right with the Lord and we're sensitive to the conviction and the move of the Holy Ghost, then our thought life will change with it. Hello? Amen? So he says to us in Psalms 86, This is what I love about the Lord. Verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Amen. Now, if we're serving a merciful God and he wants to forgive us our transgressions and he wants to forgive us our sins, amen, isn't it better to know that it is mercy, that he's ready to give us freedom? Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes some of the things that the adversary brings in my life keeps me in a place of bondage in areas of my life, and God desires for us to be free. So he's telling us to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Now, I don't believe that, I believe everybody in the room's in the faith. I believe everybody's a child of God. But now he says, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. And in other words, God says, you don't have to have somebody else know you. You already know yourself. Amen? That each and every one of us already know. Nobody knows me like I know me. Hello? Nobody knows you like you know you. Amen? And God wants you to understand that we're an open book before him. Amen? So he said, and the second thing he said, prove your own selves, know not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you. One of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about is this. We have cliches we use all the time in the body of Christ. One of the cliches we use is, well, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Another cliche we use all the time is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. But the question that God would ask everybody in the room is this. Is the greater one that's in you greater in your life or not? Is the greater one the greatest one in your life? In other words, you can't go after the devil with the greater one that's in you unless you recognize and respect him as the greater one. Hello? Amen? And it's one thing to say, hey, greater is he that's in me that's he in the world, but I have to recognize and put him in that greatest place. I've got to respect him for who he is. Amen? And when I have recognized and revelation of the one in me and I have reverence and honor to him, I'm reflecting on my life because he's convicted me. I'm giving him the greatness he deserves, amen, within this vessel. Remember, we're a sanctuary, tried and true. Amen. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. And we're looking at to respect. And I'm talking about respecting the one that's in you, the greater one in you. Amen. And again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, is the one in you greater in your life. Amen. He says this to us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. The Apostle Paul says this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that now worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. Amen. In other words, the one is that's in us, the greater one in us, we have to allow him to be great in us. You know, if he's not great in our life, we're not going to be overcoming anything in the battles that we face in our flesh, in our natural man. Amen. Our spirit man needs to be stronger than our natural man. So when I was looking at that, he reminded me of what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. He said this. He said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. In other words, he's asking us to examine ourselves, to look into to reflect on our own lives, and to respect the ones in us. How many know that every time we do something wrong, we hit a warning signal before we do wrong? Every time we do something wrong, we get a warning signal from inside that what we're getting ready to do is wrong. Amen? Hello? We get that warning signal, and what are the most of the time that we go ahead and do? We go ahead and do what the warning signal told us not to do, all right? That warned us about it. So if the warning signal we got, and we didn't listen to it or take heed to it, we didn't make that one in us greater than what we were facing. And if we can't make it greater than what we're facing, we're not going to overcome what we're facing. Hello? God just wants to be real with us tonight. That's just as simple as that. He's just real. Amen? God just tells it like it is. Amen? He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 23, he says this, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. You know, the Ten Commandments wasn't eliminated in Christ Jesus. The law was fulfilled. It wasn't abolished. Before, we couldn't do it. So God sent his Son to the cross that died on the grave so that he could seal us with the Holy Spirit, which helps us to keep the commandments. Amen? Amen? In other words, we have a helper to help us if we allow the helper to help us. Amen? In other words, we've got to allow that one in us. We've got to respect the one with us. To respect it is to have reverence to the Holy One that is in you, because the Holy One that is in you is God. Now, when they went into the holies of holies before, if they had any impurity, they would fry. They couldn't stand in the presence of God. And God wants you and I to have a reverence and understanding of the one that's in you as a holy God. He's pure and holy. Amen? And so some of the things we look at and some of the things we do, we bring disrespect to the one that's in us. Amen? And God says, and his mercy and his grace, he's allowed us, but there's coming a time when we'll have to give an account. Hello? What I'm going to give account for is when I do what I knew not to do, but I went ahead and did it anyway. Hello? How many know that there's some things that are wrong in your life, but you're just going ahead and doing it anyway? Come on. Hello? Amen? So he says that unless you be reprobates, or reprobate is to be rejected. Amen? And he says in John, let's go to John chapter 12 and let's look what Jesus says. John chapter 12, verse number 46. He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Amen. This isn't Pastor Carl's words, it's the words of Jesus. Amen. And what he wants you and I to understand, look with me in Romans chapter 1. I truly believe that God is getting ready to do something supernatural, and for his grown-up children, it's very important for us to be walking with him in purity and holiness towards him. Amen. We're serving the holy God. When I was talking to the Lord, you know what he said to me? He said, this isn't going to be popular. And he said, he asked me a question. He said, do you want to win a popularity contest, or do you want to serve me? And I want to serve him. And I want to tell the truth. And I want the word to come forth and us to realize and recognize who we serve. We serve a holy and a pure God, and God can do marvelous and wonderful things if we'll just allow him to be God in our lives. Amen. If we'll just let him crucify our flesh. He'll crucify our flesh. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. He says our steps have been ordered and we got the light coming. I love that scripture. Amen. I love a little happiness. Anybody like to be happy? Hey, this is a happy place. You know why? Because God loves you. You know why? Because God's mercy is abounding towards you. You know why? Because the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to everyone in this room, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. All God's asking you and I to do is that thing that he brings out in our hearts tonight, to confess it, let it go. Hey, let him take it from you. Release something. That's what God's looking for us to do. Release something that we've been holding on to. We've been trying to hold on to it, trying to make it work. It won't work because it never was made for you to have it. Amen. You weren't created to carry what you've been trying to carry. Amen. And Romans chapter 1, he says this. Let's start at 25. He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use and to that which is against nature. They became lesbians. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one to another, men with women. Men became homosexuals. Working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things, or a rejected mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then he goes on a little further. And he said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, here's what the Father's saying. We have a way to measure sin. We have a tendency as Christians to measure sin. Well, homosexual or a lesbian, that's a big old 10, but my lying, that's only a 3, and my thievery is a 3. No, God looks at sin in the same way. Amen. In other words, their sin is no greater than our sin. Amen. And God has come to, but we recognize the Bible says the wages of sin is death or separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God came to give life and the abundance thereof. And the adversary brought all these things to destroy. Amen. In other words, I am never going to stand in this pulpit and say it's okay for a man to be married with a man or a woman to be married with a woman. I will never say that. Will I love them? Yes. Will I hate their sin or despise their sin? I'll despise the sin, but not the individual. Amen. I'm not going to look at their sin and make their sin any greater than my sin. Amen. Amen. In other words, if we're called into the different things, the Lord wants us, so many times we think that the way that we can get the things we want is to give ourselves up. That's one of the biggest lies of the adversary. Usually if you give yourself up to try to win somebody, they're just going to use you and abuse you anyway. Amen. If somebody loves you, they'd marry you and wait for you and to have you. Okay? Amen. Hello? Anybody listening beside me? So with that in mind, do you hear what the Lord's saying? He's saying he wants us to reflect. He wants us to look at ourselves. He doesn't want us to look at anybody else in the room. Oh, let me find something's wrong with James. Let me see. No. God wants us to reflect on our own lives, have respect to the one that is in us, and to reject the lies of the adversary that's trying to deceive. The Word of God says, the Apostle Paul says, we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen? God forbid. Amen? Well, Pastor, that's too hard to live a holy life. Well, yeah, God never said it was easy. It's pretty hard living a simple life, too. Hello? How many know it's hard to live a simple life? Hello? I'd rather live a life where I have a helper, because guess what? The devil helps you sin. God helps you not to. So if I'm serving sin, who am I serving? Hebrews chapter 6. I just want to... Is it warm in the room? Is the temperature hot? Is it hot with the fire of the Holy Ghost, or is it the heat or the warmth of the room? Huh? Listen to this. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now there's an encouragement word. But, beloved, children of God, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So in closing today, or this evening, what is the Lord saying to us? Simply this, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to the church of Laodicea, and in verse 19, he says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So in closing, what is he saying to you and I tonight? He said, examine yourselves that you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. He is asking you and I to reflect on our own lives, to have respect for the one that is in us and to reject the sin that's trying to attach to us. Amen? God says for you and I, he says if we abide in him, his words abide in us. And his word, if it isn't applied, is his word being denied. And God wants you to know that he has great and wonderful things for everyone in the room. And who in here again has something that they need to release to him tonight? Let me see your hand. Come on. Come on. Every last one. Every last one. Can we do something a little different? You're going to get out of here in a good time. Hallelujah. Can we all just gather around the altar here tonight? Can we just all come here and gather around the altar and allow the Lord to minister to our hearts and lives? Well, Pastor, why do we have to come to the altar? Because an altar is a representation of the place where we meet God. Amen? The altar is the place of the cross where God paid the price for you and I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we just all lift our hands? God isn't asking you to tell me your sin. I don't need to know your sin. I don't need to know where the Lord's ministering to your heart. But you know what's not pleasing to him. And what God wants you to know tonight, as you confess it, as you release it, he'll take it. He'll cleanse you. He'll wipe away. He'll wipe it away. He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west, not to be remembered again. But it's up to you. God isn't going to make anybody do anything. He's a loving God. His love and his mercy is flowing to each and every one of us. But he still wants you and I to realize that he's a man of his word. And he has to do everything he said he would do in his word. In other words, he said he isn't going to judge you, but his Father will judge you and I. We have grace through Jesus Christ to remove our sins. And Father, we thank you, Father God. I thank you for every man, woman, and child, and young person that's in this room tonight, Father God. I thank you for the thoughts that you think towards them, thoughts for good, thoughts not for evil, thoughts to give them hope and thoughts to give them expected end. And tonight, Father God, as we're confessing things, Father God, we're releasing things to him. I want you to just say it. Even if it's under your breath, you don't have to hear it. I don't have to hear it, but God wants you and your spirit, man, to say what it is that you're asking him to forgive you of even right now. Just ask him to forgive you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That thing you've been holding on to is the thing that's been keeping you in bondage in your health. Release it to him tonight. Father, I thank you for my family, Father God. I thank you for everyone that's around this altar tonight, Father God. I thank you for the call that's on every last life, Father God. Now, Father God, as they release things to you tonight, Father God, give them the strength, Father God. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness, Father God. Just as the Apostle Paul said, therefore I'd rather glorify God in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Can you give him praise and thanksgiving? Can you lift your hands and give them praise and thanksgiving? Jesus, tell them, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross for me, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving me. Thank you for setting me free, Father God. For your word declares whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Thank you for all that you've done in my heart and all you've done in my life. Father God, I'm going to run towards you. I'm going to press for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Father God. I thank you for every man and woman in this room, Father God. I thank you for the gifts of God that are upon them and within them, Father God. I thank you that you're stirring our hearts and our lives up to usher in your return, Father God. That we're going to reach this world with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you called us for a time such as now. And we say, Lord Jesus, have your way in our hearts and lives. And we'll never cease to give you all the praise and the glory.